Earning Girl Scout patches helps girls around the country learn about science and nature, language, home improvement. Now there's a new patch which encourages girls to not accept traditional models of beauty. It uses a 2009 documentary by Courtney Bent and George Cachedorian called Shooting Beauty, Everyone Deserves a Shot, which centers around an extraordinary group of photographers who definitely challenge conventional wisdom, photographers like Tony Knight.
I run into situations where little kids, we're talking about 5, 6 years old, will walk up to me and say, "What's wrong with you?" That's why I love kids.
Cerebral palsy has confined Tony to a wheelchair. He and several others in the same situation attend the United Cerebral Palsy Day Experience Program here in Watertown, Massachusetts, a program that, as we see in the film, is magically transformed by the arrival of fashion photographer Courtney Bent. Courtney first saw Tony and his friends as subjects, then made them the photographers, even though many are contorted by their illness and can't speak. We spoke to Courtney Bent in September 2009 and began by asking her, what was it like when she first went to the program?
It was a little scary because I'd never been in this type of environment. I'd never worked with people with disabilities. And then the more I was there, they weren't self-conscious at all about having their pictures taken. I started to realize there was this vibrant, exciting, fun world within this facility that I was in.
And yet, when you showed the pictures that you were taking to other people, they said, "Oh, that looks so scary. That looks awful." The pictures weren't reflecting how you were feeling about the people.
No, no.
And so you decided, why don't they take their own pictures? Now, here we come to the part of the film, and let's listen to a little bit of what it's like to carry that out with people who often can't move their thumbs, can only use their tongues, perhaps, to work a camera. Let's listen.
Okay, first of all, you want to have this little bump on the bottom, okay?
The bump?
Yep. Can you see? How is your eyesight? Let's see, can you move this hand at all? Okay, which finger works? So, EJ, what do you think is going to be the best for this chair? Are we going to have to build something new, you think, or?
Maybe we can make another button.
Make another button. One that's easier to press.
Yeah.
Okay, so if this were here, it's the camera's not on, but try, let's see if you try pushing it, see if, ooh, with your chin. That might work.
Tell us about some of what are now your students, Courtney. For instance, about EJ, one of the most severely disabled of the people you're working with. How did he end up taking his photographs?
Well, he was in his chair, and his body, as you said, was very contorted. He had no use of his hands, and he had no use of his legs. So the one thing he was able to do was use his tongue. I found a camera and a cable release system that we had mounted right next to where the dowel was that he drove his wheelchair. So he would press the button with his tongue.
Describe some of the images.
Great. One of my favorite images taken by EJ was taken in his living room. At one point, I just set his camera up, and he spun around to face the wall. And he leaned in and took a couple pictures. And I looked at him, I said, "EJ," you know, this is going on in my head thinking, oh, this is just a waste of film. This is exactly what I didn't want to have happen. He's just taking a picture of the wall. And I said, "EJ, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm just taking a picture of the heart." And I looked over on the wall, and it was just this completely blank wall. But right in the middle was this beautiful little heart that he had made.
Another participant, Mary Jo Chasen, also confined to a wheelchair, very verbal, though, and this scene illustrates how each of the participants would help the other, try to make up for another's disability. Here she's trying to help you understand the thoughts of another man with a little less language skill. Let's listen.
Say it again, Steve. That's what he usually says.
He gives up so easily.
He gives up so easily, and he says, "Never mind. Say what you were going to say, Steve. You want. You want what? You want a camera. He wants a camera."
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Was there anyone you couldn't work with photography with?
No, that's a good question. Initially, actually, one of the people that was in the program who eventually started taking pictures, he he had a hard time socializing.
Is this Tom?
This is Tom, yeah. So he, for a very long time, just avoided me. And I think that was a case of a few of the people in there because they hadn't been really socialized. They were used to either being with people who were from their community or people who had disabilities or being with their families who were comfortable with people with disabilities, but they had not integrated much into society.
Well, Tom in particular, let's explain. His friend, a social worker and a foster mother, explains that Tom lived with her and 44 infants and never came down from his bedroom from the time he was born till 18 years later because there was no wheelchair. And when one is built, we see it. He's sort of laying almost on his stomach with his legs behind him. His spine is so contorted. But he does eventually not just take pictures but videos. Let's listen to one that he took.
Hello. This is Tom Herrick signing off for a while. I hope you enjoyed this, Courtney. Over and out.
What did you see photography do for Tom?
Basically, it brought him out of his shell, and it gave him a reason to get through his day. He was definitely depressed, and he had a really hard time finding sort of a purpose to get up out of bed each day. And this gave him not only, you know, something to do, but it gave him a purpose. He really became somebody behind that camera, and he really found his voice behind that camera.
What were some of the pictures, images Tom captured?
When I first gave him the camera, I said, just go photograph, you know, your world. I want to see what your world is like, you know, introduce me to your life. And he came back with a roll almost full completely of self-portraits. And to me, that was amazing coming from somebody who had been so closed off from everybody else to suddenly now turn the camera around and do something as brave as take a self-portrait, which can always be difficult to turn the camera on yourself. And now he was looking at, you know, these pictures were basically saying, hey, look at me. Here I am. So it was almost like he was reintroducing himself to the world through his photographs.
Well, without giving away the ending, it becomes very important that Tom have that thing that give his life purpose. And then something else happens for all the students in the film, which is that almost miraculously, when you think about it, they suddenly get a photography show and celebrity-dom. And how are they reacting now? Now it's a film. But they still are participants in the Cerebral Palsy Day experience.
Well, one example would be Mary Jo, and she, after seeing the film, said to her mom, hey, Mom, I just want to let you know, I promise I'll come home on Thanksgiving and Christmas, but just so you know, I'll be in Hollywood. So, I mean, they love it. I mean, they all just love it. It's one of those things where it doesn't have to, just having that one moment, just even having one moment where they're in a big theater and they get to see it on a big screen in front of a, you know, crowd of 400 people, that is just an amazing experience for anybody.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Your photographs are so beautiful.
Thank you so much. This is the greatest feeling I've ever had, and nothing can top this.
We did.